And welcome to Chiefs Live. Mitch Holt is with you, along with a 15-year-long snapper, best guy to ever do it in this league, Pro Bowler Kendall Gammon. Well, the Chiefs go to 2-13 on the year yesterday, losing to the Indianapolis Colts. And just when you thought the football physics couldn't be defied even more, this game really goes against it. Kansas City, Jamaal Charles has one of the best games in Chiefs history. The Chiefs run for nearly 350 yards and lose the game. The numbers just don't add up to losing the game.
It really doesn't. When you talk about it in terms of over 500 yards, you have two guys that rush for over 100 yards, one for 226. If I'm a betting man, I lost the bets because I would not have put my money on that one. That was unreal. But the name of the game, and we saw it here a little bit earlier, was the fact that you had turnovers, and that's what really plagued the Chiefs the entire day.
And penalties. This run down inside the 10 gets called back. So that pushes the Chiefs back and takes them out of touchdown range, essentially, and then they've got to kick a field goal. But the combination of penalties and turnovers and the pick six that we saw, I mean, these turnovers were big. But still, it overshadows an incredible day. And the Chiefs had their moments on defense. See a lot of A-gap blitzes against Andrew Luck. And there for a while, Andrew Luck could do nothing in this game.
He really had a lot of issues. And I thought the Chiefs' defense did a good job of taking advantage of some mismatches in terms of Andrew Luck's offensive line. The center and the right tackle were both the backups that had not played in the last 2 weeks. And so it was something that the Chiefs did a good defensive part against. But as you look at it right here, you watch Peyton Hillis, and this is a guy that got on track to do it for a great game. I mean, it was nice to see him come back and do some things, and the offensive line, I thought, played well, has continued to play well. Offensively, I mean, when you think about it, coming into the game, you knew we were going to run the ball. The Chiefs knew we were going to run the ball. Indianapolis knew it. I mean, even Yellow Dog knew it. Everybody knew we were going to run the ball, yet they come up with what they did. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Well, here's a chance for an interception. There was pressure all day on Andrew Luck. Now, this kid has got terrific poise for a rookie. The Chiefs right there all day. One thing is the Chiefs only have 7 interceptions this year. They're going to be setting an all-time Chiefs record for fewest interceptions on the season. Then Vinatieri's money. But again, all this being said, the Chiefs were able to run the ball. Talk about setting the edge. They did it all day long, and then Jamaal Charles did his thing. This is close to a 1,500-yard rusher on a 2-win team.
Well, you're exactly right. You can't say enough. I had a chance to talk to Jamaal after the game, and this is a guy whose heart and soul is into this game, and he's setting marks that he's trying to get to because, of course, you know the playoffs and everything is not in reach. But he's a warrior. He's running tough, and you saw there earlier, I mean, setting the edge, not the greatest sometimes, but his speed is allowing him to still get to the outside. He can get to the edge simply faster than anybody else.
Now, here comes a critical point of the game people forget about. First of all, Devin Wiley gets involved. Nice throw there by Brady Quinn. And then this throw is outstanding as it gets Newsome an opportunity on the boundary, and the Chiefs are driving. And to your point, here it goes. Fumble lost inside the 20. Red zone fumble, that's at least 6. Could have been a game tying 7 points to make it a 10-10 game.
Well, you're right. And that was, again, when I spoke with Jamaal after the game. For everything he did, the first thing he mentioned to me was, he goes, it doesn't matter. He goes, because we didn't win the game, and I've got to hold on to the football. That's a guy that's taking accountability for what he's doing. And you know what? Sometimes you do lose the ball, and that team gets paid to play also in Indianapolis. But, again, he did some good things. You see right here, getting to the edge, taking off, and then cutting off towards the right side of the field into the middle, and Baldwin going there, not making a big block, but simply running interference, and it's those blocks downfield that allows you to really get there. Then, of course, we see this with DeMarco making a fabulous lead block, the fullback who's on the practice squad for most of the year and now making a difference with the Chiefs' offensive run game. Just fabulous. Fun to see, and we talked about it before the show. Jamaal really, I mean, he slicked his ears back and he put it into a different gear. I mean, he just flat went.
Well, he keeps his balance here. And then he hits the gear that very few humans have and very few humans in the NFL have. What's impressive to me, this is week 15 or game 15 of the season, and he has got this much juice and speed and all the hits that he has taken. Now the Chiefs are back in the game, And they basically dominate this third quarter.
They really did. And I mean, you'd think that they have to. When you've got 500 yards and 350 on the ground, I mean, you see right here, the offensive line doing a great job getting into the down lineman, spreading the defensive lineman out, running them laterally, and allowing him the chance to cut back. The league, it's a quarterback-driven league from the passing side of it, but from the running side of it, it's a cutback league also. And you see right there just a mistake that you simply can't make, and you had a chance to pull even closer. It's just, it's tough.
Well, suck up, hit one, missed one, then he comes back with this one to tie the game. And again, the third quarter totally dominated. Andrew Luck only completed one pass in the entire quarter, and that was early in the third quarter to Reggie Wayne. And now setting at 13-13 in the third quarter, Andrew Luck was pressured all day long. There were just issues. The DBs made hits on the back end. Tyson Hartman, the rookie out of K-State, had his best game yet. But there was constant pressure on Andrew Luck.
There really was, and you saw him get hit constantly, like you said, throughout the game. And some of the sacks that happened also, I felt like were covered sacks. He's back there. He had some time to throw. He had no one to throw it to, and they made a good play on the ball. This right here, young QB, he won't make that mistake again. If you're going to go out of bounds, get out of bounds, because otherwise you're going to get hit.
And Flowers can jack you, one of the more physical corners in the league. I mean, they're small in stature. And here we go. Is this the record tire? I believe it is. He had a chance to get one earlier. He blew it. He did not blow this one. Dustin Colquitt, congratulations, Dustin. You have tied an NFL record for punts inside the 20. You did this all your life in football. How amazed are you at the year he's had?
It's unbelievable. You know, former teammate of mine, so I know him very, very well, and he's a team player, because sometimes that doesn't reflect well on your net average. But 42 punts inside the 20, phenomenal. Again, we have to reiterate, 19 inside the 10. That's huge.
Why did the Chiefs lose this game? You just saw the last two plays, and I want to chronicle those. Hopefully, maybe go back to them. But if not, this does not look like a 20-13 loss. 507 total yards, 352 on the ground, and you lose.
Well, if there was one more line right there, Mitch, it would have the turnover ratio, and we'd be -3 for the day. That's what did it.
And critical turnovers, red zone turnovers. This is the Peyton Hillis we thought we would see. Now, this is where, okay, take a look at the time and score. Kansas City driving on fourth and inches, a quarterback sneak. The Colts who've been gouged all day long. And then Andrew Luck, I want your comments. This is the seventh time in their 10 wins he has made fourth quarter plays to win a game for the Indianapolis Colts. That's an all-time NFL record. But in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs not able to make the critical play. The Colts were able to on a 14-play drive, several critical plays.
Well, you know, you can't say enough about Andrew Luck and how he's done this year. You talk about those seven plays or seven game-winning drives in the fourth quarter. For a QB like him to be able to come into the league and inspire the confidence and have the confidence of his team like he does right now, Mitch, this is a guy that's playing well beyond his years. And, I mean, I'm referring to him right now as the ghost of Christmas future. I mean, we're going to see the ghost of Christmas past in Peyton Manning this week with the Broncos. But these are guys that make a difference that Luck has picked up quite simply where Manning left off.
Well, this has been a Scrooge, Grinch, stocking full of coal kind of year. The Chiefs close it out against the Denver Broncos this week in Denver. The Broncos have a lot to play for. There's a lot on the line this week for the Broncos. We'll come back and talk about the final regular season game when we come back after this on Chiefs Live.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women 40 years and older are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life.
Oh, let me go home. at the 40. Charles is going to go. See you later.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you know three things matter. One, being at Arrowhead. Two, rocking your red on Sunday. And three, tailgating. This fall, I'll be out and about around Arrowhead Stadium with the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate. If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on KCChiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
The fans are great. You know, they always behind the team no matter what. Definitely when it's cold outside, when everybody could just take it in and sit back and drink coffee in front of the TV, they out there rooting with us. So the fans definitely are our motivation to go out there and get them something to cheer for, playing with great intensity, playing with effort and toughness, things like that the fans really appreciate. So it's our job as a defense to go out there and get them that play in and play out.
Well, this week, the 2012 season comes to an end as the Chiefs go to the Front Range of the Rockies to take on the Denver Broncos. Before we talk about Denver and what's at stake, we just need to sit down and think about, take a breath, and the year that Jamaal Charles is having on a 2-13 season. There's, to me, only one year that's comparable in NFL history, and that is Steven Jackson, who had a year like this on a 1-15 Rams team in 2009. It is incredible what this guy's been able to do.
To have a chance to beat his all-time record and get to, 1,500 yards, I mean, it's phenomenal, and especially on a team with only two wins, because it's easy to let your will down a little bit. But as you see, as we watch some of his highlights, this is a guy that has top-end speed. He continually breaks through the front line, and when he goes hard, as you see right here against New Orleans. I guess that's not the 80-yard touchdown run. Maybe this one was. But, I mean, he just does some phenomenal things. He has that gear that nobody simply has. He was born with it, and it's special to watch him after a game, then also just like this week. I mean, he took $30 worth of tape off his body. This guy is banged up. I mean, they're gonna have to budget it for next year. I mean, but he just keeps going and going, and he wants nothing more than to run as hard as he can. And you see right here, this is a guy, you talk about it all the time. He can improvise, and he can make some people look silly. It is what it is.
Okay, you played in this league for 15 years. You played on teams with good records. You played in a Super Bowl. You played on teams with poor records. For fans, what should they really appreciate about Jamaal Charles doing this in a year where he could have shut it down a long time ago?
You almost say it is the fact that he could have shut it down a long time ago, and he didn't. He has a pride. He has a will. He wants to be the best. This is a guy, it doesn't matter. Even when the Chiefs have been down by many, many points, he runs hard. He runs tough. He runs with a chip on his shoulder to a degree. He shouldn't have any more, because he has gotten respect of not only the people here in the region in the Chiefs Kingdom, but nationally as well. This is a guy who, at just a little over 200 pounds, he can take the rigors of the NFL. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Right there, putting his shoulder pads down. I mean, he is a physical back, as well as running away from people, Mitch.
And he's tough. He has a mental makeup, and you mentioned his passion. But he has a mental makeup. It's that Port Arthur, Texas background where he's just a tough, tough, tough kid. And for him, he sets an example now for the young guys on this team. And going into the offseason, the way he played this year is a great example for a ton of young guys in this locker room.
Well, Mitch, you're exactly right. And another thing that I think is very, very impressive is the fact that this is a young man who is not impressed with himself in the least. He's just doing his job. This is what he wants to do. This is what he loves to do. You can talk to him about how big a day he had this last week. First thing out of his mouth is, I can't fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, you can forgive a guy for having a miscue when you're rushing for 226 yards, but that's the first thing out of his mouth. That's to be admired by everybody, and certainly his teammates, the coaches, and certainly the kingdom.
Well, you try to get assets going into 2013. He's the biggest asset probably on this team. The numbers prove it, though. The numbers now are remarkable. He is the all-time NFL running back in yards per carry in the history of the league. his third 200-plus yard game yesterday. Only Jim Brown in NFL history can say the same thing. And we're talking about incredible accomplishments here.
When you're mentioned for anything with the name Jim Brown, then you know you're doing something right. He's had an 80-yard touchdown run, had the 86-yard TD run. That, to me, was more impressive because of how he did it and the fact that he cuts through, he goes to the left, somewhat like the New Orleans game, but then takes it to the right. He just has a vision that most people, again, he has that speed that he was born with, and he has that vision that you're born with. He has an uncanny ability to stop with 2 feet while he's running and get sideways and then accelerate, and that's a big thing that NFL people look for. He does a great job of it.
That's an excellent point. His 86-yard run gave you everything he's about. Toughness in hitting the hole, kept his balance on the sideline. He could have veered out, cuts all the way back, and goes all the way. But now he's had a 91-yard touchdown. We saw it against New Orleans. Best in Chiefs history. 86-yard run yesterday. Second best in Chiefs history. And he's got the three top running games all time in Chiefs history.
You know what? I'm almost speechless because, again, like that, to be able to do what he did this week in week 15 or the 15th game, being banged up like he's been, it's just phenomenal. Again, like you said, right there at the sideline, then he makes a cut, and he goes to the middle of the field, and again, Baldwin running cover for him like a good wide receiver should do. Doesn't have to be physical with it. You just got to get in the way. And again, we talked about it earlier, but you have to give credit to number 49, DeMarco, for what he did. Got out there, found the guy he was supposed to get. And Jamal, the other thing I think we haven't mentioned yet, Mitch, also, is he's a very patient runner. Even though he's fast and quick and can change on the dime, the fact is he'll wait for his blocks, he'll let it set up, and then he'll stick his foot in the ground and it'll go. And when he goes, I mean, I've said it before, growing up playing not it, he was never it.
And Patrick DeMarco is another asset going into next season. I'm not sure there were some decisions to be made at that position in the first part of the year. I'm going to tell you what, that kid had a huge impact on this team over the last 3 to 4 weeks. Now let's transition to this week's game against Denver. There was some thought, well, maybe Denver is already in the playoffs. They won't have much to play for, and Brock Osweiler will get some time instead of the legend Peyton Manning. Not so much. Denver can get the number one seed for the playoffs.
It's unreal. And if you think back to the offseason, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I saw what Peyton Manning's doing right now coming. I did not think it'd come this way. But when you look at Denver and what they're doing, 60 receptions for 20-plus yards, that's fourth in the NFL. 52% 4-plus yards on first down. They're doing some great things, and you see right there the playoff seeds. You would not have thought that they had a chance to do that. But, again, they're going to be giving the Chiefs their best shot this week, which quite honestly is what you want. You never want anybody to lay down.
No, and they started 2-3, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's 10 straight wins.
It is.
If you're counting, that's pretty impressive. And Peyton Manning, just like Andrew Luck, gets a lot of the bright light, and should, deservedly so. But sometimes that bright light kind of sets a shadow over some other assets on this team. Defensively, they have had their moments where they have been outstanding front to back with this defense. And going into the playoffs, it gives them a chance to make a run in the playoffs because defensively they are better than they've been the past couple of years.
Well, you're right, and it starts with number 58, Von Miller, with 17 and a half sacks. This is a guy that you have to account for. You've got Elvis Dumervil also with 11 sacks, and I would say that the 17 and a half by Von is a new Broncos record, so they're getting it done. This is a defense that I did not see developing like they did this year, but they bring in some key free agents, and quite honestly, when you look at it, I think Peyton Manning on the offensive side of the ball demands respect, and it translates over to the defensive side of the ball, and you have a team that becomes so much more professional. You talk about a voice in the locker room because he is a voice, but he leads by example. Those things translate over to a team, and you've seen John Fox has done a great job, and of course, a new defensive coordinator in Jack Del Rio, a former Kansas City Chief. I mean, he has done a great job as well. You can't say enough for what they're doing this year.
Yeah, I think that gets overshadowed too with the coaching that this team has had, and John Fox has been consistent in this league for a long time. That was a benefit for them when Carolina let him go, and Denver was smart to pick him up right away. Very highly respected. And then Jacksonville fires Jack Del Rio. they pick him up right away and put those two together. Sometimes it's not even fair.
You're right. And one thing I forgot to mention, you've got five pick sixes for that Denver defense.
Yes.
That's something that doesn't happen very often either, Mitch.
Nope, that secondary has actually done a good job. And it's a blend of guys like Cham Bailey and Tracy Porter, when he was healthy, doing some things. They pick him up free agency, but some young guys that they've integrated into that defense as well. The Chiefs have won there the two of the last 3 years. In fact, you go back to Jamaal Charles. This was last year, a 7-3 win over Tebow, and everybody thought Tebow was completely done, and then they were able to win in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. But Kansas City has won two of the last 3 years at Invesco Field.
You know what, and that's tough to do. I think in my seven-year career with the Chiefs, I only won once up in Denver. It's a tough place to play, so what they've done in recent past has been impressive. So you hope you can come out and you can play hard in that last game of the season, because when it comes down to it, that's what the Chiefs are going to remember, is the last game. And certainly, again, the playoffs are not an issue, but jobs are on the line, evaluations are going on. I mean, when you've won two games, everything's getting evaluated. You just know that.
We appreciate the great feedback that you give us on Chiefs Live. So many people follow this show and then follow KCChiefs.com all week long, all year long. This is a team that doesn't sleep. This is a league that doesn't sleep. So let's kind of take a look at the path ahead. First of all, any breaking news that will happen here, you're going to get right away on KCChiefs.com, and many times you'll get it first. But let's look at the menu to kind of walk you through maybe 60 to 90 days. And let's be honest, we haven't mentioned this before we start on this calendar. The Chiefs are on track to have the number one pick in the 2013 draft. That has never happened in Chiefs history. Not one time has that happened in Chiefs history. The last time the Chiefs had the number one overall pick was in the old AFL days. I think it was Buck Buchanan in 1963, not a bad pick. But right now, if the Chiefs lose at Denver, they'll have the number one pick.
You're exactly right. So that's why we've got people going to the Senior Bowl to look. You're going to have the 30 and 30 and looking at the free agents. I mean, it's never been more important in terms of that. And the draft is always... The NFL in general has done a spectacular job of keeping football in the minds in the offseason. But again, when you potentially have the first round pick and you want to make a difference, there's a lot of different issues the Chiefs have, a lot of holes you're going to want to fill. And it's going to be just as interesting. You've got to see what the 2013 season is going to bring, and that's going to start with the draft.
Let's go right down the line here. Reed Farron, our insider, will be going to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. That's usually kind of the pick of the litter of the guys the NFL thinks will be the top drafted guys. Also, we'll keep you up to date, too, on the other bowl games, but as far as the other senior or the blue-gray game. Now, the draft spotlight series on KCChiefs.com, you mentioned this, 32 intriguing players in this draft. Keep in mind, the Chiefs not only will have the number one overall pick in the draft, you essentially get the pick of the litter every time a new round comes up. This could be the most important draft in Chiefs history, at least since those early 1960s when the Chiefs built those Super Bowl teams. February, the Combine, it's even more important because now it takes the Senior Bowl and bounces it into the Combine. 30 free agent profiles in 30 days. Who's available? Who can they go get to get this team going right away? The path to the draft leads up to late April in the 2013 draft. It'll be the most anticipated NFL draft in the Chiefs' kingdom, probably of all time.
You're exactly right. And again, we're going to be following it all. You can catch it here. Like we said, we're going to be following all the information that goes on in the offseason, and it's going to be an exciting offseason. Has the season gone the way the Chiefs' kingdom wants it to go? It hasn't. But the fact is, now it's the future. Where do you head from here?
Let's be honest. You and I have talked about it a lot. Sure. This is, to me, it's the most disappointing season in the 53-year history of the Chiefs. We could chronicle all that, but you followed all of that. But now you get ready to turn the page. Some big decisions have to be made, but I'm excited to see what happens in the offseason in 2013, because what the NFL has shown us this year, this thing can change very quickly.
You're exactly right. The team we just played was 2-14 last year, and what are they doing this year? They're going to be in the playoffs, so anything can happen, and that's why the NFL is so popular, because you can change from one year to the other. But again, free agents, draft, you get a mix of the both, and you figure out what you're going to do in 2013.
Again, stay tuned. We'll keep you up to date with any breaking news right away. So stay right here on KCChiefs.com. For Kendall Gamm and the Long Snapper, awesome job, my friend. It has not been an easy year.
And to you.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. We live for the day that the kingdom will be going into the playoffs.